In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us quieten our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Our dear Heavenly Father, we can but only say, thank you, dear Father, for all that you have done for us. But above all, dear Father, that thou hast given unto us thine only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, through whom we have received the hope of eternal salvation in heaven. And we ask, dear Father, simply, preserve us here in this kingdom as a lowly child. And we beg and beseech you, Father, simply to increase our faith and grant unto us a heart to serve thee, to love thee, to honor thee, and to cling unto thee. And we pray as your Son has taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before we begin our services, also, there is a wedding prayer here on behalf of Rachel Judith Matilla and Ryan Thomas Hiluka, who are going to be joined together in marriage on the 6th of June here in Cokato. And we pray on their behalf, dear Father, Lord, if thou do not build a house, they labor in vain who build it. Build, Lord, for them a home in which faith, hope, and love would prevail all the days of their life. Amen. For our text this morning, I feel like I'm a few minutes behind on everything. I'm going to take a text that oftentimes has been heard at weddings, and yet a text that is so important for every one of us, young and old, married and single. And it's found from the Epistle of Paul from the Colossians, from its third chapter, beginning from the 12th verse onward. And these words are in Jesus' name as follow. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. And children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. Before we begin looking at this text, I do want to bring you greetings. I just visited with my mother in Finland, there in Tampere, and she had some bouts with some health issues, but now she was feeling very well and was very thankful unto God that once again she received her health. She's going to be 90 this September. And of course, today is Mother's Day. I hope you boys and girls hugged your mother. Mothers need hugs. Well, so do dads. We need lots of hugs and reassurance, and we need to hear the gospel. Bless your moms, boys and girls, youth. It's important. And of course, I want to wish all of you mothers a very, very happy Mother's Day. Motherhood, maybe you don't realize it, but motherhood is, I guess it would be the second oldest occupation in the world. Farming was first. When Adam and Eve were set out of the garden and Adam began to toil the soil, the thorns and the stones, and in the midst of it began to plant seed. And unto them was born a child. And from that day, motherhood has been with us. And dear mothers, contrary to what the world is teaching us today, motherhood is an incredible, wonderful occupation and gift of God. Dear brothers and sisters, it's important to remember mothers. Very important. You know, this is actually some years ago, I was visiting at a certain home, and the father of the home, he had to be in his 70s. And his mother was there, and she was in her 90s. And we had eaten, and we were in the dining room and kitchen, and I happened to go into the living room, and there was this 90-some-year-old mother and her son, 70-some years old, and the mother was reminding her son about some very important matters. Motherhood, fatherhood is with us as long as we draw our breath. It's an incredible important occupation and duty that God has given unto us. You know, there's a lot written in the scriptures. I'm going to read just a short portion. If I find that, it's in the 26th chapter from the Apocrypha, from the book of Ecclesiasticus, and it says in this way: "Blessed is the man that hath a virtuous wife, for the number of his days shall be double. A virtuous woman rejoiceth her husband, and he shall fulfill the years of his life in peace." It's an incredible blessing of God. "A good wife is a good portion, which shall be given in the portion of them that fear the Lord." And then this last sentence here, which touches everyone, even you boys and girls and you youth and everyone. It says, "Whether a man be rich or poor, if he have a good heart toward the Lord, he shall at all times rejoice with a cheerful countenance." And that is so important in our life. You know, that's why the psalm writer, when he prayed to God in that psalm, I think it's a 52nd psalm, he prayed this. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." It is so important that we can experience this joy that God gives unto us through that gift of living faith and through that gospel of the forgiveness of sins, which gives unto us peace and a little foretaste of heaven. And the joy, oh, the joy that comes when one who has been traveling with a troubled conscience and tired and weary, and yet when you've heard the gospel that your sins are forgiven. And even now, boys and girls, beloved youth and all, you can freely believe that your sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. You know, this doesn't only bring joy to you. And it brings joy. Every one of us has experienced it again and again and again. And always the Lord Jesus is encouraging, come this way. Come here to this place where the gospel is preached. Here in this lowly kingdom of God here upon the earth, which from the outside looks, well, it looks like that tarred vessel that Noah was building. The people were ridiculing him and taunting him, and yet when the waters began to fall and the rivers rose and the lakes overflowed the shores, and people were clambering up to the high hills and the mountaintops, and then they could see in the distance this tarred vessel, this kingdom of God, and how beautiful it was on the inside. There was the security and the safety and the peace and the joy of God there. Nothing has changed. We're here in this same tarred vessel, which seems so ugly from the outside, those that are there, and yet it's so beautiful here. And even as the Bible reminds us, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of good tidings. Yes, the gospel of forgiveness. It belongs to everyone. And yet, today is Rogation Sunday, and rogate is a Latin term referring to prayer and asking and petition. And so it's Prayer Sunday today, and how important prayer is in our life. There's that example of Noah of Moses, when he was so tired and weary. The disobedience of many then, and he was so troubled, and there was sorrow, and there was difficulty, and he couldn't even utter a word. And the Bible says then that he sighed. And immediately following this, it's written in the Holy Scriptures that, and the Lord God said, "Why does my servant cry?" This is how near unto us our Heavenly Father is. He is just as close as that child of God next to you. That is where Jesus dwells. He dwells in our hearts. And the Apostle Paul even spoke often of this temple of God here, where Jesus dwells in this temple in the heart of a child. And so that's why we want to gather whenever it's possible to the hearing of God's word. And I have to say, dear brothers and sisters, yesterday there was a barbecue and a discussion evening for the youth, and it was scheduled for 5:00, and I was there at 5:00, and there wasn't too many people there, and I was looking at the pile of hamburgers, and I thought, boy, this may be quite an interesting evening. There was a lot of hamburgers to be eaten, and there wasn't too many people. But then the youth began pouring in, and it was incredible. I mean, and the discussion and the presentation last evening there was, it felt so good, and the participation of the youth, it felt so good, and there was older youth there. You beloved older ones, it's important that you come to those gatherings to share and to experience and to teach
through your example and experience as those younger ones. I remember when I was, you know, shortly after I was confirmed and I started going with HAPS, I thought, during those days we were called the bubblegummers. I guess we chewed a lot of bubblegum. I don't know where that term came from, but the older ones lovingly kind of referred to as the bubblegummers. But it was so that whenever HAPS, and wherever HAPS was, there was all the older ones, and there was us bubblegummers there too, chewing our bubblegum there and listening and watching and singing and so on. But it's so important that we endeavor to gather together, even as we were reminded of recently at our spring services. And I have to say to your brothers and sisters, the spring services is very important for us as listeners, and especially unto us as speaker brothers, but unto all of us, because God has sent into our midst different gifts, and God is speaking to us through those gifts of those brothers, and it feels so good to be there to listen, and we know that faith cometh by hearing. That's why it's so important. So you beloved youth that were there last evening, thank you very much. Continue in that vein and make that become a habit and remind your friends, you know, when there's some happenings, let's go there and at our spring services that we want to gather there and listen. And I know, you know, the younger you are, the longer it seems at times, you know, but have you ever gone to a gathering of believers and left and thought, boy, why was I there? We always leave feeling good. It feels so good. Why is that? Because Jesus is there in our midst. Boys and girls, Jesus is here this morning. And we're gathered here at the feet of Jesus to listen and to hear what Jesus has to say unto us. It's important. And that's one thing to pray for, dear brothers and sisters, boys and girls and you youth. Pray to God that He would give a hunger for God's Word. That there would be a desire to gather together, even as we were reminded, and so much more as you see that day approaching. Very, very important. But let's stop for a few moments on our text here. And it's a prayer also, an instruction and an exhortation to us. And it says here, put on therefore as the elect of God. Even this beginning, you are the elect of our Heavenly Father. You are those chosen ones whom, as the Bible says, He has called you by name. And it feels so good, doesn't it? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Holy and beloved. Yes. Yes, you are holy and beloved. Well, you look at the one next to you and you think, yeah, they're holy and beloved, but I certainly don't feel holy and beloved. Satan is very near to us. He's preaching constantly a sermon of unbelief. Constantly a sermon of doubt. And constantly a sermon that preaching the wisdom and the reason of man. But, dear brother and sister, you are holy and beloved. And boys and girls, I was going to mention, I forgot, but I think it's good to important to remember that, you know, that when we have our sins forgiven, it feels good, doesn't it, boys and girls, right? It does. But much more important, our Heavenly Father in heaven, God, the Creator of every living thing, is joyful. He is joyful simply when you have your sins forgiven. That's important to remember. Boys and girls, of course it brings joy to your mother and father, but above all it brings joy to God in heaven. remember that. But the apostle here is praying on our behalf and instructing us, and he's reminding us how we need to adorn ourselves, to dress ourselves. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. How has it been? Boys and girls, that's why moms and dads need hugs, and they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear that their sins are forgiven, because we find ourselves so often so short and so unsuccessful, and yet the Spirit of our Heavenly Father that dwells in us, it's continually teaching us how important it is indeed that we would be merciful, we would be kind, we would be humble, meek, long-suffering, that we would be forbearing one another, or in other words, that we would be carrying one another and helping one another on this journey of living faith. And above all, that we would forgive one another. There's a portion which is one of my favorite portions, and it's a very simple instruction, and oftentimes those things that are simple are so powerful. And it's this instruction. Boys and girls, beloved brothers and sisters, simply be kind one to another. Pretty powerful. But it goes on and it says, tender-hearted. The flesh could even make kindness become a work. Tender-hearted. Now that comes from within. It's a portion of that Holy Spirit that dwells within us. That we want to be very kind and helpful and timid to one another. And especially when difficulties have arisen and the church law of Christ, which instructs us to go and speak to that one that has offended us, or go to that one that we've offended. But to go in a very timid and with a humble heart, with a tender heart, and with love. Always with love. One old speaker brother reminded in this way when he was speaking of truth and love. And we know how important love is. I mean, the Apostle Paul writes an entire chapter in the 13th chapter of Corinthians on love. And so we have love and truth. And if we approach one with just truth and no love, he said, that's a harsher whip than the law. Always we approach one with love and the truth in that way. Very important. How many times, dear brother and sister, have you and I needed help? I was just speaking to my wife this morning that there were those times in my life where it seemed like I was a rudderless ship in the midst of a storm. And yet, God sent His angels and helped. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Oh, yes. I need to continue. Be ye kind one to another and tender-hearted and forgiving one another as Jesus has forgiven you. That is so important, is forgiveness. Extremely important. And in this way we carry one another with the gospel, encouraging one another and comforting one another and uplifting one another and lovingly rebuking one another. And preaching the gospel that those sins are forgiven.
And he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be thankful. My peace I give unto you, Jesus said. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Yesterday afternoon I was visiting with some elders, and that is always so incredibly wonderful. One sometimes goes there with a mind to perhaps to go visit and to help, and one always leaves feeling that that was so wonderful. I'm sorry, I lost a thought. I was going to mention something of our conversation, but I can't remember now. But that's what happens. And you young ones, you'll experience it too as you age a little bit. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. That's important. That we endeavor to be thankful. We have so much reason to be thankful. That does not mean that trials and difficulties and afflictions don't beset us. They do. There is sorrow. No matter where we would go in the world, we would find sorrow and difficulty and affliction. We cannot avoid that. But what grace of grace it is, that we're here in the midst of God's kingdom. And when that sorrow and difficulty comes, our Heavenly Father lifts us up and places us in the midst of His angels here upon the earth. And I think we who are of any age have experienced this, how good it feels to be in the midst of His flock, feeling surrounded by the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And so even in the midst of sorrow, one can be joyful. Yes. Even though there may be so much difficulty, one can be joyful. The Bible says, "For I have called you by name. You are mine." That is how God has said. And He has promised, "I will never forsake you. I will never leave you." Such security we have in God's kingdom here, where even an orphan is surrounded by the love of our Lord Jesus. That is the kind of Heavenly Father we have. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. Yes, that's why we gather. You know, we are such empty and leaking vessels. We need continually to be filled and refilled again with the goodness of our Heavenly Father. For it isn't long when it all begins to drain out and it seems like the endeavor is so difficult. And again, we need to come to that place where Jesus is gathered. And He says, where two or three are gathered, there I am with you. And that's why it's so important that we have believing friends whom we can go and visit and talk to and of the way, the joys and the sorrows and to be blessed with that gospel of forgiveness. We need it again and again and again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Yes. Another psalm writer praised God in this way, that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's how it is. Oftentimes we come here tired and weary and sin corrupted, and we hear how Jesus fills those empty and leaking vessels with His goodness and mercy and forgiveness, and we leave, we always leave, feeling so good. And that is what we were visiting at that elder's house. See, that's how it happens. It comes back eventually sometimes. We were visiting about the forgiveness of sins in the home. And, you know, how oftentimes we find ourselves, you know, that sin has attached and offense has come and we've been impatient. But we have the gospel where we preach that gospel, and then those things are, then they're put behind us. A God in heaven has forgotten them. And we go on. And that is what we were visiting about. Those in the unbelieving world who have remained together as husband and wife, endeavoring to do that which is correct, trying and forgiving one another. And we certainly have to hand it to them, because the flesh is powerful. Every one of us has experienced the power of the flesh. And yet, even them God has helped to continue together as husband and wife. And we always have this prayer onto those loved ones who are this day and this moment endeavoring in the darkness of unbelief. That our Heavenly Father, through some miraculous way, would allow a beam, just a slight beam of the light of His, to fall upon their heart, that they could see the need for the assurance of the gospel. And so even on this prayer Sunday, this is one of those prayers that we have in the forefront for those unbelieving loved ones and unbelieving neighbors, that God would grant unto them this grace that we have experienced. It says here, then, it speaks briefly to the wives and to the husbands and to the children. And wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit unto the Lord. And in Ephesians, when the Apostle Paul speaks about wives submitting oneself to their husbands, he also is reminding, and submit yourselves unto one another, every one of us. That is to be loyal and obedient unto God's word, unto one another. And that we would always look upon the other one as better than ourselves. And that we would thank God for this gift that He has given unto us. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. There is a difference between man and woman. Man was created first out of the dust of the earth. Woman was created from the rib of Adam. Even in this, God in His wisdom and did this for a reason and a purpose. So you, dear husbands and fathers, that you would always keep your beloved spouse close to your heart, near and dear, and always endeavoring to thank God for this gift that He's given. Then he says here, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. There it is, boys and girls.
But when you've been disobedient and you've asked for forgiveness, this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. God in heaven is happy when a sinner asks for forgiveness. And that abundance of grace and mercy, the psalm writer even has spoken of that, how as high as the heaven is above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, so great is His mercy upon you and I and sin-fallen mankind. He is our dear Heavenly Father. But He is the Heavenly Father of all creation. And He is continually calling and encouraging those and us to come this way. He is continually reminding, even those words of Jesus, what was that instruction? Oftentimes we relate that instruction to those in unbelief, and indeed it was. But it was an instruction unto us, where He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all else shall be added unto you. It's a reminder unto us that where is the beginning point? It is always here before our Heavenly Father in His kingdom in living faith. And we go from this point endeavoring to be obedient, endeavoring to fulfill the will of our Heavenly Father. And He has promised to bless. And He does bless. Be of a good comfort, you beloved youth and boys and girls and brothers and sisters. All sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And yes, boys and girls, hug your mother. I also need to hear this gospel that can I believe my many sins and doubts also forgiven. I certainly desire to believe with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.